Hi, and welcome to the Win-Win Podcast. I am your host, Shauna Simawang. Join us as we dive into changing trends in the workplace and how to navigate them successfully. Our research reveals that since deploying HiSpot, customers see an average of 16% increase in win rate. So how can you maximize the impact of your efforts with an effective enablement platform? Here to discuss this topic is Molly Sistak, the head of enablement at Cigna. Thank you for joining us, Molly. I would love for you to tell us about yourself, your background, and your role.
Amazing. Thanks so much for having me, Shauna. I've actually been around sales my entire life. My dad's company is actually a manufacturer representative, which basically means they're the middle people between manufacturers and wholesalers for really large, like, commercial bid jobs. So I grew up hearing him on the phone, spending time in the office, hearing how people do calls and so on. And then I actually started working there when I was like 15 or 16 until I graduated university. And the funny thing is I started as the cleaner, and all of a sudden one day it was like, oh, can you file a few things? And apparently I was good at that. I don't know how you're bad at filing things, but and then a few days later, my dad's secretary actually asked me to answer the phones while she was away. And apparently I was really good at that. So they actually started having me do inside sales. I really was only like 16 or 17, still in high school at this point. So I really kind of got my foot in sales really early, worked there pretty much every summer for 5-6 years. I think after uni, I was like, definitely not going into sales. I don't want to be like my dad. All he does is talk on the phone and travel and all sorts, which seems nice, but I don't want that. Well, unfortunately, that didn't work out for me because I found tech and I fell sales and I absolutely fell in love. And then I kind of just fell into enablement naturally. So it was BDR and then became a bit more senior in the team. And as we started to build out that team, onboard new people, I kind of took on that like training person role within the team. So it was kind of started off a little bit ad hoc doing team trainings. And then they're like, oh, okay, yeah, you're pretty good at that. And I can see you like it. Why don't you help us onboard some of the new joiners? And then fast forward a few months later, a job opened up in the enablement team specifically for BDRs. So that's really where my background focus is. I went for it and never really looked back. And I think that really made me realize, like, I love teaching people how to sell even more so than I actually loved selling. And then joined Cigna about a year ago to help with coaching the sales team, building out playbooks and so on. And it's definitely been a journey. I think every company has really had like quite a lot of hardships in the last year. It pretty much has touched every tech company that I know of. And so I even did a short stint heading up our BDR team. So a slight shift away from enablement. We've finally hired somebody amazing to take over that team. So I can announce that I'm finally back into enablement as of about a month ago. And yeah, have just been promoted to head of enablement. And I've never been in that strategic role before, so it's been a really big learning curve, but slowly finding my feet and really excited to see my plans come to life.
Wow. So when you say you have been in sales for your lifetime, you really mean from almost start to finish. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to understand from your perspective, you know, now that you're, you know, focused on enablement and kind of gravitated towards that. From your perspective, what does good enablement look like? And, you know, maybe if I was going to reframe it due to your new role, what are some of the key components of an effective enablement strategy?
I think that's a really great question, Shauna. And I can, of course, say what everybody else says in this, which, you know, I think what the key pillars are, which are, you know, content, training, and coaching. I think those are like the three key things that we look for in driving enablement in a company. And then of course you can create the best programs in the world, but if they aren't aligned to those company goals and you don't collaborate heavily with other teams and get those stakeholders bought in, it's just not gonna move the needle. And I've actually spent some time thinking about this and like, what do I do differently to the above to hopefully help who is listening out there? And I think one thing that has really helped me is actually having that sales background, doing that, you know, those sales myself. So I always bring that into everything that I do. But I also go back to that feeling of being bored in trainings and not being able to sit still when you have someone like talking at you. So I think like when I build my programs, one of the things that I try to always do is make them engaging as possible. Like, does that mean that, you know, I'm asking them questions throughout? Do I make it fun? Do I put a game in there? I know when I was at Okta, I actually made a board game called Octaland. So it's kind of like Candyland, but it actually was with Okta questions and you had to answer questions about the product or do a cold call role play or handle an objection to move forward on the spaces. So again, just how do we make it fun and drive that engagement throughout? And I think often as enablement professionals, we get so caught up in that idea of like, we have to have this big strategy. What are we going to do for next year? Like, I'm already thinking about 2024, what's going to happen? What do we need to leverage to really hit those goals? And I think it just turns into that tick box exercise sometimes. And I've thought a lot about this recently, which is funny why you've asked me this question. And I think one of the answers to that is actually having bite-sized trainings that can influence the now. How do we help people do their jobs better today, not, you know, 3 quarters from now? Of course, that's super important, but we're already doing that anyway. So how do we think about that? One of the things I actually just implemented as of last week is called Mondays with Molly. Tried to make it fun with my name. And it's kind of that like just-in-time snackable style enablement. So it's about 3 to 5 minutes. It's a bite-sized video. And by the way, I'm not a perfect editor, but just threw it in iMovie, made a little jingle on Canva just to make it a little bit fun. But it doesn't take me very long. I just recorded it right before this podcast. Took me about 20 minutes, maybe maximum, to come up with the idea and actually record it and edit everything and get it ready to send out Monday morning. So the idea is that they kind of listen to it while eating their breakfast or drinking their coffee on a Monday morning in the hopes that that's something that they're going to start doing that Monday. So that's what I've been doing, a little bit different than kind of the usual enablement strategies that we see all over enablement teams today.
I love it. You have a creative flair that you bring to your enablement strategy to keep it engaging. I mean, attention is a hard thing to capture with sales reps. So kudos to that. How does your enablement platform help you bring that enablement strategy to life?
Yeah, so I definitely couldn't live without it. And I think that's probably because in enablement, we're constantly faced with this idea of like spinning plates and managing multiple stakeholders at one time. There's like this huge element of collaboration, not to mention the amount of content that we're in charge of and making sure that people are actually using and then giving that feedback back into marketing. And I'm sure that many of the people listening have just dealt with the sheer number of questions that go a little something like, hey, where can I find X document? I've had so many of those questions. And to be honest, now I just send them, I made an emoji in Slack. That's the high spot emoji. And I just send them the high spot emoji. And yeah, and it's kind of a funny way to deal with it, but they do then get used to actually then going and finding it themselves. And I was absolutely buried in these before we had a sales enablement platform. And I really think that they help bring that structure to the chaos. And with, you know, besides that, I think the main things is, you know, first of all, they provide that single source of truth for all the up-to-date content that can be shared with prospects and customers or used internally to inform or upskill the team. Then not only can you ensure that your team has access to the right content or information at the right time, but they can also share that content to their prospects and customers and get those analytics into what they're engaging in. So not only does this help enablement, but marketing and reps, it pretty much helps every team that we touch really understand what content is resonating most with buyers. That helps us make much more data-driven decisions over time. And then on the training and coaching side of things, like, it's a huge manual output. Like, if you don't have a platform, it's all live sessions, tracking things on Google Sheets. I mean, not to mention having, if you want somebody to do an accreditation or some sort of certification where they have a role play involved, really difficult to manage all of that with the rubrics and all sorts. So this really helps to roll this out and ensure completion on that those kind of like training and certifications or even an onboarding program, for example.
Absolutely. I love that. Those are fantastic examples. Before HighSpot, your team leveraged a different enablement platform. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and maybe some of the challenges that your team faced?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I joined Sedna, the previous enablement team had actually already chosen Seismic. So they were using it for about 8-9 months by the time that I joined. I think before that, they were using Google Drive, which is just horrible to think about now that I can't live without an enablement platform.
Was there an impetus for deciding to make the change and implement HighSpot instead?
Yeah. So I think once the team actually got their hands on Seismic, the realization that actually Lessonly and Seismic, they actually weren't integrated at all. There were two completely separate logins. And I think for anybody listening who's had to deal with two separate platforms when doing enablement, like that's just double the enablement that you have to do, double the management, double the admin. So that was a huge, huge problem for us. And I think one of the main reasons that we did switch. We also couldn't add that kind of, I like having content with context. So on pages, you have your content and then you have your context, which is your training and coaching around that. You couldn't really do that with Seismic unless you like hacked the page and it was kind of just like a click here type link. There weren't any buttons. There wasn't kind of like that smart navigation that you have on other platforms. With the digital sales rooms, they also kind of fell short a little bit and the team felt that they were really difficult to create. So they just weren't used, even though that was one of the main drivers for purchasing the solution in the first place. Reps couldn't find the content. Your platform is only good as the content that they can find. So huge problem there. That search wasn't really optimized and the pages weren't that easy to navigate. And speaking of the pages, the overall look and feel of the platform just felt a little bit too clunky for a small organization. And we really found it difficult to make the lessons and the pages like look customized to our brand and the feel of our brand. And I think you could have if you had a lot of design experience and had a team dedicated to doing that, but we didn't. We had to be a little bit scrappy, so that was really challenging. And then finally, like the analytics side of things, it was really difficult to pull out the data and analytics on what was working, what was being used, to really help us make those data-driven decisions. And it actually took one of our team members like multiple days to pull that data out for QBRs. And she really struggled with this and would go to Seismic and ask for help. And they would kind of just like send her a help article. And she's like, I already read the help article. Like, I don't know how to do this still. So we really didn't get the help that we needed. And then kind of on the flip side of things, when I joined Sedna, I do know that they were already feeling a lot of these challenges. So they were already in talks with HighSpot. And I think it was basically our HighSpot contact knew that we were coming up on our renewal and also knew that you guys were launching your training and coaching side of things, which was a huge thing for us at the time, and reached out to my previous boss like well before our renewal. So I think that the HighSpot team did a really, really good job reaching out and being proactive and following up, because I really think that that helped us drive the change even further. And that was kind of like the nail in the coffin, like, actually, we should look into HighSpot again. So that was really cool from the team.
Well, I love it. And I'm glad that you've joined the HighSpot family. After implementing HighSpot, how have you been able to solve some of the challenges your team was facing with your previous solution?
Yeah, so I think there was three main things for us that have actually solved a lot of the challenges that I spoke about earlier. Search was a huge win for us. HighSpot search is absolutely amazing. I find things in like 1 second. And it's funny because like our platform is also like renowned for search. So we feel very comfortable with that. Whereas like sometimes when you're searching in other platforms, you don't really get what you're looking for. And then you have to try to figure out like what page is it on, or, you know, what folder did I put it in? So huge win for us. And I don't get any asks about where to find content anymore. So that was a huge sigh of relief for me. And then pitching has also been a huge win for us. So the team wasn't really adopting this before, even though it was one of the absolute main reasons we purchased Seismic in the early days. My team absolutely loves that you can add multiple pieces of content in a branded environment rather than just kind of sending like those one-off links to each of the pieces of content. So that's been a really big thing for us. And then just like ease of use. So not only for the team, of course, with search and just how nice the platform looks in general from a UI perspective, but I think from my perspective as an admin, we completed our entire migration, tested it with the team, and rolled it out in literally about 2 to 3 weeks. It's insanely quick. It didn't feel quick, by the way. I think it was definitely a bit of a roller coaster for me trying to figure out, because I had never implemented a sales enablement platform before. But yeah, we could not have done that with our previous solution. So that was huge for us in terms of the admin and upkeep.
Got it. Well, I think to that point, I think getting buy-in from executive leaders on the impact of enablement and the value of your enablement platform are absolutely crucial. What are some of your best practices then for securing buy-in from your executive stakeholders?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. I think it's about getting them to see the value through salespeople shouting positive things about it rather than me. I think the second it drives a deal forward or a prospect is like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, it definitely will catch their attention. I'm going through Sandler training right now with my new VP, and it reminds me of like a bit of the Sandler methodology that like you have to get your prospect, and realistically, my sales stakeholders are my prospects and customers, but you almost have to get them to realize it themselves, like the impact of something or the challenges they're having, rather than it coming from you. It's much more powerful. So I think that's definitely the way to go. Almost make them realize like, oh yeah, we do have those challenges. And wow, that actually is a huge impact, rather than you saying it yourself. And then I also, like I mentioned previously, include them upfront in the prospect, like in the process, make sure they're aware and informed throughout, because that will really make sure that they're bought in upfront. They know exactly what we're signing up for, and you can already start to have like key metrics that you want to measure and make sure that you're holding yourself accountable for getting the ROI out of that platform.
Absolutely. Now, in addition to having leadership support, you have seen really strong adoption across all of your users. You have a recurring usage rate of 84%. What is your advice for driving adoption amongst your sellers?
Yeah, so it's really interesting, because our team was not really a fan of Seismic. So in the beginning, we actually struggled to get people excited about HighSpot because they thought it was like, oh, it's just the same. And we kept saying like, no, it's not. But of course, they don't listen to us. We tell them things all the time. They need to find it out for themselves. So what I did was I actually tried a few fun things when we launched it. So one of those things was a holiday scavenger hunt, where we provided clues that led to the most important pages that we wanted them to land on, let's say product or partnerships or personas pages. So it kind of helped them get the navigation down and understand where everything was located. And we basically put like holiday emojis on the piece of content that related to the clue. So they had to go and find those.
I love that. Taking those skeptics and making them champions is absolutely clutch.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask, because, you know, you've talked a lot throughout this podcast about the importance of a unified platform that can help you not only with content, but also training and coaching, and how important that seamless experience is to driving adoption. How have you started to leverage HighSpot training and coaching, and what are some of the results that you've seen so far?
Yeah, so the first thing that we did with HighSpot training and coaching was actually a HighSpot certification, naturally. So that got them used to kind of the features and functions of like how to use it and how it was a little bit different than Lessonly. So we got them comfortable with it. Since then, we've done quite a lot of certifications, one of which was like a discovery demo certification that included not just some videos and some live sessions, but we actually took it one step further and did a video response with some test questions and had a rubric attached to that that then matched our rubric in Gong. So when we then started to do call coaching later on, that was like the real world example, not just kind of the role play example, we could then take that rubric and use that later down the line. And they were comfortable with it and familiar with it and knew exactly what they needed to change. So that was like the first like real instance of using this. We were not able to do this with Seismic. The video uploads like never worked for us. So we always had to do like a manual send via Slack, which is just not ideal. Things get lost. With HiSpot, we're actually able to take the best video responses. And I was able to then build kind of like a page with all of the best ones where people could then go and watch. And I'm like, here's what good looks like off the back of this. So that could be gong calls, but it could also be, you know, the video responses that they're using. The next thing that I'm building out is actually an onboarding program for both BDRs and AEs. They join on the 2nd of October. So I actually only have about a week left to be able to build this out. I'm maybe only like 60% of the way. Onboarding just has so much content. But I think it's great having that kind of platform that has both the content and the training and coaching is an absolute necessity for new joiners, because not only do they have a place to go when it's like, oh, I finished everything for today for my onboarding, they can go in, they have gong calls to watch within HiSpot. They have different video trainings that are bite-sized, like my Mondays with Molly that they can go watch. They can see QBR decks, they can go kind of peruse product persona information. So I think it's just super helpful for them to have access to that content on day one and just in time when they want to discover it. But on top of that, that from my perspective, I can see exactly where they are in their onboarding journey. What have they completed? So pretty much every day they have like pre-work, which is tends to be like a series of e-learning videos or like articles that they need to read. Some live sessions that we run outside of HiSpot, but then we throw them back into the platform in the afternoon for their post-work, which could be a presentation that they have to create, and then they need to upload the link into HiSpot so we can grade it and give them feedback on it, or a objection handling role play that they need to do. So we use test questions a lot, and we also use the free video response a lot. And again, that just means that as we grow our new joiners and we have people go through onboarding, we can start taking best practices and link the videos that they do within that without having to like download and upload and like record it via Zoom. So it just makes that way easier, just having everything in that one unified platform.
I love that. And on that note, last question for you, Molly. This has been fantastic, by the way. What has been the impact of having a unified platform on sales productivity? And do you have any key wins or business outcomes you can share?
Yeah, so I think getting our top seller on board was a huge key win for us, because I think if we didn't manage to do that, I think we would have been in trouble. So that was probably like our biggest win of like really driving that adoption and making sure that sales are productive with it. We've also done some additional almost like refresher trainings. Some of those will also be coming up in Mondays with Molly. Just little things like if we get updates in HiSpot, I know you guys are always launching new amazing features. So that Mondays with Molly is a perfect outlet to then be like, hey, this is actually something new that you can do in the platform, and I want you to start doing it today. And I can start measuring that. In general, I don't get any more questions like, where can we find X? So the search function is working really well, and it means that reps can find the content that they need in a matter of seconds, rather than like, you know, doing the whole waiting for somebody to answer on Slack, which could take hours, if not days. If I'm really busy, sometimes I forget to respond. And actually, there's a funny story that happened the other day that I think brings us to life, which we have a new RevOps contractor who's doing some territory planning and books of business for us. And she actually asked me the question the other day. And fair enough, I didn't train her on HiSpot. And she said, hey, do we have a document on, I forget what it was, ICP or something like that. And then I kind of said like, no, actually, we don't have that document. I need to build it, blah, blah, blah. And she said this back to me, and I quote, I am glad I'm not crazy. Things are so well organized here that I have to keep reminding myself, if you can't find it, it doesn't exist. So I thought that was like a true testament to what we're trying to do with not only the search function, but really optimizing that guided selling experience so that if you don't know where something lives and you're not really sure exactly what you're looking for and what it's called, that you can navigate and kind of discover that content as it comes up and as needed. So I think we need to refine that a little bit more moving forward now that we know what people are searching for and updating that content. But again, I think we have a really good, strong foundation to start with, and it's clearly working. And then marketing was able to pull out all of the most used external content, which really provided the foundation of which they were able to prioritize, which pieces of content they should actually update first. So yeah, I think that was really, really helpful for them. We, of course, don't have a crazy amount of content. I think we maybe have 400 or so assets in the platform. But if you had to go through 400 and try to prioritize, just kind of finger in the wind, that would have taken them a really long time. So I think it saved them quite a lot of time on that front. And in saying all of this, like, I actually wish that we had, you know, like really concrete and better metrics, but with my role shifting so much, like, we haven't really measured enough or properly used the governance side. So it's actually something that's on my list to work on over the next few months. And as part of the refresh, we're actually going to dive a little bit deeper into some of these and like what KPIs we really want to measure moving forward to really make that impact of the platform a lot greater. So yeah, really excited to see where we end up. If I talk to you in a year from now, I think it will be amazing.
I can't wait. I would love to have you back. Molly, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
To our audience, thank you for listening to this episode of the Win-Win Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more insights on how you can maximize enablement success with HighSpot.